I feel like the word is so powerful to keep. You're like holding it and keeping it, and you're possessive. And that implies like you own it. And it's to me, it's like, how can you own something that's just part of nature and part of the world? Like, we, if anything, are guarding them, we're working with them, we're working together.
Welcome to You Can Plume, the business podcast, where we talk about holistic health as a female entrepreneur. We get to the heart of what it means to live well-being and success in a feminine way, so that you can plume in and with your business. If you don't know me yet, I'm Stephanie, a business mentor, yoga teacher, and cultural anthropologist from Germany. Grab your favorite drink, something to write, and let's dive into today's episode. Hello, Brenda. I'm thrilled to have you here and to learn more about bees and about your work today. Please give us a short introduction. Who are you and what are you doing?
Good morning, Stephanie. My name is Brenda Cuevas, and I like to say that I'm a bee guardian. I don't like to identify as a beekeeper. And my work involves protecting them, providing a safe environment for them to thrive. And in return, they gift me their honey, their nectar, their wax that I process and make some beautiful candles. And I've also been diving into offering workshops lately. As a matter of fact, I have one tomorrow scheduled. So
Great.
just sharing a little bit more about tending to them instead of keeping them to people that are curious and want to learn, and also the crafts that you can create from these, from their wax, from their honey, from the products they gift us.
Amazing. I would love to join you, but you are in California, right?
Central California.
Yeah, so okay, it's a bit far away to just come over, but I hope that soon we will have the chance so I can participate in one of your beautiful workshops. You already mentioned that you don't like to call yourself a beekeeper and instead you call yourself a bee guardian. Could you please tell us a bit more about this?
Sure. I feel like the word is so powerful to keep. You're like holding it and keeping it, and you're possessive. And that implies like you own it. And it's to me, it's like, how can you own something that's just part of nature and part of the world? Like, we, if anything, are guarding them, we're working with them, we're working together. So when I started working more with the bees, I just realized like, I'm not keeping them, they're not mine to keep. If anything, I'm protecting the environment in so many ways, and by the way that I choose to do things to provide a good ecosystem for them, and also sharing about how can you protect the bees, and not just the bees, but pollinators and local pollinators, importantly, as are very important as well. So I feel like I strayed away from calling myself beekeeper, and people also, I feel like, assume a beekeeper is somebody like that has like hundreds of hives and they're like mass producing honey. And I respect all people that are working with the bees and that have a business as beekeepers, and that's what they have mass productions. But to me, I wanted to bring it back to more like earth-based, slower, and working with the seasons, like respecting the cycles of their life. And that's, I feel like,
Beautiful.
being a guardian.
Yes, beautiful. I love that. So, how did your passion for, well, bee guarding instead of beekeeping start?
I would have to say I've always admired nature. I've always loved to be outdoors and just passionate about protecting nature. And I grew up, very close to my dad, very close to my mom, to my family. And he's always been into growing our own food, growing our own corn, our tomatoes, our cucumbers, and harvesting the land, with, as when I was younger, it was just a few feet. And then after a while, like he started, he purchased more land and started to grow bigger crops just for our own personal use. And I would help him out with that. And one day, and he started getting hives. And one day he told me, Mija, come here, I want to show you something. And there was like hundreds of bees on the floor, just dead outside of the hive, just like a carpet of dead bees outside his hive. He was like, I don't know why this happened, but I need to do something about this. And since you love nature and you love to protect nature, you need to do something about this. And I was just like, wow, I can't believe like this is so many dead bees. Like, what could have happened? So that's when I started to do my research. And before that, I would help him also with the beekeeping, with the smoker, and pull this out of the way and make boxes. So I would be hands-on with him, but then it that shifted when I seen all those dead bees on the floor of like, what can I do to for this not to happen again? So I did a, went down the rabbit hole, got really passionate about learning how to provide a good environment for them, and found out that there's pesticides, as some of us know, that harm them and a lot of other species and ourselves. So I like to speak on that as well. And there is a mite that also needs to be controlled, and that can wipe out a whole colony. So there's a lot of things that just lined up that it just intrigued me. And then learning about the queen and the sisterhood. And at that time, I was really involved and still am with women's circles and the sisterhood and the circle and the community and caring for each other. So then when I started to learn more about the bees and how they take care of each other, you have the bees that nurture, the ones that clean, the ones that go out and forage. And it was just fascinating how we should be a little bit more like them. But they provide and they protect their colony, their home. Yeah.
Yes, that's lovely. And I need to say it reminded me, or I was just thinking while you were sharing this very beautiful story, how my relationship with bees is. I mean, I like honey and I always purchase the honey from my region and like not from the supermarket in the plastic and but actually, I live close to the forest, and like a few steps into the forest, there is someone keeping bees or protecting bees, hopefully protecting them. And I go to this forest my whole life, and always when I'm coming back and I see the bees and I can hear them, I know that now I'm close to home, and I made it out of the woods. I found my way home. So for me, it's a very calming noise or sound, maybe a better word. And I know that many people are afraid and oh my God, the bee, and they're running, and I don't know. But for me, it's very calming when I see a bee and when I hear them, like, okay, I made it home. Yes.
Yes. There's a lot of people that are scared and have a phobia as well. But it's like you said, they're very calming. If you have the opportunity to be near a hive, either in a box with the beekeeper and just sit there. And that's how I did a lot of my work at the beginning, just sitting there, like just listening, the humming, and just watching them go in and out or go to the flowers like that. I knew that they would pollinate, and that had a lot of nectar and pollen, and they just were just in and out. And I would just stand there and just observe them come and go, and just fascinating how these little just creatures do so much for us.
Yes, absolutely. And it's like you said, it's a giving and a taking, or a sharing. And we shouldn't just take, I mean, we never should just take from anything in nature or anyone in nature. But I think, and this is why I invited you, I think this is such a an amazing approach on this topic and on nature in general. And you know, I'm a yoga teacher, and there is a breathing technique that works with the humming. And I think this is something that, even if you're afraid of bees, I mean, maybe you can change that. But it's something that we can practice in our daily lives and we can learn from the bees. And this is what's bringing me to my next question for you. What lessons are the bees teaching you for your life?
Well, the bees have taught me how to work with the seasons. They have their seasons. They're not producing full blasts like all year long. Winter comes, they're not like hibernating like bears, you know, but they slow down and they forage very little because there's little flowers. Like there's not a lot of, for them to going out and get. So it's kind of like us. We need to slow down during the winter. The days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, and it's kind of like the rhythm. Nature slows down, the bees slow down, the production slows down. So if anything, it's taught me that. And then springtime, it's kind of like that resurrection, that spring of like coming back to life. So this winter particularly, they taught me a lot because I had to move my hive and start new. So sorry, my dog's at the door knocking to let
No
him. So the sorry, back to the question. What have they taught me, right?
Yes.
So yeah. So working with the season has definitely been one of the biggest teachings, how to slow down with the winter, and also previously in autumn, like just how to prepare for the winter. They start working, they start closing off the hive and making sure all those little cracks and are filled. So when the winter comes in, there's no draft, there's no cold. And then, you know, so every season they prepare for the future. Then springtime, they know there's plenty of flowers out there for them to gather. So they're working. And when they say, you know, they work themselves to death. They literally do. In the spring and the summer, they are working, just going out. The harvest, the ones that go out, they go out and come back, just repetitive, repetitive. And they work so much that they have a really short lifespan because they work themselves to death. So that's another thing that teaches me to, like, it's okay in the springtime and the summer to work and produce, but also be mindful of like the time that you have to do this. And then winter comes and then they really slow down. They do live a longer life. They do have a lot longer lifespan during the winter because they're not working as much. So yeah, that's what they've been really teaching me this year, is just to slow down and work with the seasons of nature.
Yeah, rest is definitely more than necessary. I think it's very important. And I mean, I knew that bees have a shorter lifespan, but I did not know that they literally work themselves to death. And I always think it's very interesting, our wording or what we are saying. And maybe I'm just a
Absolutely.
bit a freak on that because I studied linguistics. I don't know. But we have here in German like a saying, we say we work like a dog, but maybe we should change it to work like a bee because I never saw a dog really like working to death. That's
Yeah,
super
the power of
interesting.
words, I agree. I love that you're bringing that up, because that's the same thing as, you know, the beekeeping, beekeeper, bee guardian, and, you know, the power of our words are very important and how we use them. So, yeah.
Exactly, yes. You mentioned that you're teaching workshops, and I guess this is one answer to my next question. But how do you raise awareness about the importance of bees and environmental sustainability?
I would like to say that I like to share about how Like people just assume the bees and honey, and they forget what comes before the honey, and the importance of having a garden that will be a place for bees to come and pollinators to come. And taking that back even more, what are you doing to the land? Are you using pesticides? Are you fumigating? Because the bees will come and pick that up, take it back to their hive, and poison themselves literally. And it's also teaching us that we're also poisoning ourselves. Like if we're poisoning these little creatures, we're poisoning ourselves as well with the pesticides, with all these toxins that we put into our soil, into our body. So I feel like it's such a big responsibility that I have. It's not just to talk about the bees and save the bees. It's like save the bees, but how can we do that? We start in our garden. We start at home, like you mentioned, purchasing from your local beekeepers, bee guardians, and purchasing local honey that will also benefit you and benefit the local economy, instead of buying honey that comes from 10 different hives around the world that they just mass, produce into these little plastic bottles. And yeah.
Yeah, it's really a big picture, and we need to see the big picture. It's not just one thing, but it's everything is related. Everything is in connection.
Yes, absolutely.
So I just fell in love with bees because I think things that I saw on your Instagram account and how you are speaking about bees is it's just it's such an interesting perspective, and I think people who can see the video will agree that you can see that you are really advocating for the bees and you really love them and you love the connection to the land. And I think this is just beautiful, and I would like to support that. So, what advice would you give people who want to be a bee guardian too, and what is a good way to start?
Observing is a good way to start, and just being familiar with your local terrain. If people that are in the desert also can keep bees, it'll be a little bit more challenging. People that go through really tough winters can have bees, but it'll just be a little bit more difficult to maintain them and provide a all year long sustain them. So just first of all, be aware of where you're at, the land that you're on, and also the garden. If you're able to have a garden that has local native plants that will attract bees and pollinators, usually flowers that are open, they like sunflowers, they love sunflowers. There's so much for them to. It's just like a little buffet. They just eat so much, and they're just all over it. There's so much pollen. There's so much for them to take. So, if you can't have a garden, if that's not possible, there's also community gardens, and there's usually people that have a hive in those community gardens that they tend to. There's also local beekeepers that are hobby beekeepers that aren't, have 20 hives, and they're not making a big. They don't have a company from that. They just enjoy
20
it.
sounds a lot for me.
What was that? Sorry. Oh, I mean, yeah, there's
20
people that,
is a huge number.
yeah, big numbers. There's people that have, pallets of, and they move just from orchards to orchards. So it's like a big industry. But there's also people that have them like a hobby, and that's how my dad and I started, just having a few, and it started to grow. I mean, we don't have a lot, and we don't produce a lot. It's just to tend to them. So getting to know somebody that might have some, reaching out and asking, like, can I just go watch? And usually people are open to sharing, because the world of bees is just so fascinating that when you're in it, when you're so passionate about it, you just want to talk about it, and you just want to share, and you just want to, like, look at this, look at this, look at this. There's so much to it, but just keep in mind that There is no A, B, and C. There's no like right and wrong way. There's something that I heard a long time ago that if you ask two beekeepers the same question, you will get eight different questions because there's so many variables. There's so many, it just depends on the location. It depends on so many things. So just be open-minded and just be open to learning and knowing that you're not going to know it all. And like when I introduce myself at the workshops, it's like, just to clarify, I'm not a beekeeper. I'm not a professional beekeeper. I'm not a, you know, I don't have a big lot of bees, of hives, and I don't know it all. But I'm okay with that. So I'm okay with not knowing and still learning from them. And yeah, I feel like somebody that wants to learn and get into it, just be patient with yourself and be patient with the bees as well. They have so much to teach us.
I've heard that you are the best teacher for what you are currently learning.
Oh, I love that.
Because I think it
I
is that when you're learning something, then you're really not just that you're into the topic, but you find ways to understand and to explain and to connect to other things and to make things easier, to explain things easier to yourself. And I think when you share that, then you make it much more accessible to other people. So I can imagine that you're a wonderful teacher and you're teaching a lot better than maybe someone who's teaching for 20 years and is far away from the beginning or
Exciting.
learning age. So I would like to end with my seven quick questions. You don't know what they are, but don't worry. They're called quick questions for a reason. It's just to get you to know a little bit better and yes, maybe also a little bit more about the bees. If you want to answer on behalf of the bees, that's also fine. So the first question is, how do you like your coffee?
How do I like my coffee? It's funny you ask because I just started drinking coffee
Really?
recently. I would say maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I've never been a big coffee drinker. I'm always drinking tea, green tea. But oat milk, I tried one day, like, I don't know, an oat milk latte. And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. So I don't drink black coffee. I can't drink straight coffee. It's no sugar, no syrups. It's just like, yeah.
Okay, so you prefer tea.
Yes, I'm a big tea.
Yeah, me
Drink
too.
tea. All
I get it. So, what is your favorite food?
my favorite food would have to be Mexican food. My family's from Mexico, and we have some amazing food. But I'm
You
very
do.
picky. I'm very picky because I grew up on my mom's an amazing cook, and her food is amazing. So if I go somewhere to eat Mexican food, I'm like a little judgmental. Like, oh, my mom's better. Love Mexican food.
It's so funny because today I went to lunch with a Mexican friend and I asked her about I mean they promote themselves as a Mexican restaurant where I live here in Mannheim, and I asked her, what do you think about it, that restaurant? And she just went like
You call this Mexican?
I wouldn't call this Mexican food exactly. So I get it. I had the pleasure to visit Mexico several times and to try homemade food and real Mexican food. And I absolutely love it. So, yes, I would agree on that. And the next one is not really a question. Describe yourself with three words, please.
Passionate, patient, and loving.
Love that. So, what or who inspires you?
Nature, earth. I can't really say like a person, It's just like nature. And if you think about it, we're all nature. Everything is nature. So I just life inspires me. Love inspires me. I can't sum it up to one thing. It's so difficult.
Yes and no, because I think nature is a really good answer and it contains everything that you mentioned. And yeah, love your answers. Now we speak about the person. Which person from the past would you like to meet?
I would have to say my great grandmother, my dad's grandmother. She was deaf, and it would be amazing to be able to communicate with her in whatever way would be possible.
Okay, and I think there's a lot of wisdom that she could share with you. For
Yes,
sure.
yeah, definitely feel that and that connection
That's
because she
beautiful.
wasn't able to speak. So now learning this as an adult, I'm just like obviously not just word vomit and just to talk, but just be mindful of what you're saying and be firm with what you're saying and clear. And yeah, so I'm learning, I'm still learning too, but yeah.
Yeah, I think this is something that we all can learn more, especially with making the messages clear, making them firm, but speaking with an open heart and with love as well. What are you most passionate about right now?
What am I most passionate about? Just living in the moment, being present as much as I can, and trying to let go of the past so I can learn to move forward. A lot of trusting, a lot of surrendering. Yeah.
All right. And last question. What would you like other people to know about you or the bees?
Well, about me is I'm very passionate about everything that I do. I feel like I've gone through a lot of things that have interest me, and I just really dive into it. And then I learn something new, and it's just like, wow, it blows my mind and my interest. But I feel like the bees have really grounded me. And also the work that I've been doing with the women's circles has really kept me grounded through all the difficult times in my life. It's always like I always know where to go. The hive, that sisterhood, that nurturing community. And the bees have that. I fortunately have that community as well of sisterhood. So that's something very important for me to also share about that as women, whatever we're going through, just know that there's somebody else going through something like that, similar or even worse. And you could always count on your sisterhood. Like there's always a group of women out there that are willing to support you and just hold you in whatever you're going through and just nurture you, just like the bees. They're nurturing their own sisters.
Yeah, be more like the bees.
Like, I love that. Yes.
Yes. Brenda, please share with us where can we find you and how can we connect with you?
Well, I had a website on for a little bit, but it's just so much work. I let that go. Eventually one day I want to start up the website again. And but at the moment I am on Instagram, Corazones de Miel, and Corazones de Miel translates to honey hearts or hearts of honey. My family helped me make that name. I was just going through some names and I was like this or that, or like I stuck with Corazones de Miel. So I have Instagram as Corazones de Miel, and I share a little bit there. It's hard to kind of keep up with life and my passion and also, but I share a little bit here and there about my stories and what's going on. And yeah, so Instagram would probably be the best, and my information is there to reach out.
Amazing. I will put the Instagram link in the description so everyone can connect with you. And I say thank you, muchas gracias for your time. And I hope to speak to you soon. Thank you for all that information.
So much for inviting me into this beautiful conversation.